Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
Welcome, you guys. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We are here today to talk about all kinds of stuff to do with your dog's teeth, which is a bigger deal than you might think it is.
And our cats.
Cats have teeth too. Okay, Marty wants you all to know cats have teeth too.
Believe me, when they're coming at you, you notice they have teeth.
You know. We had a listener request, somebody who asked specifically to address products that could manage tartar buildup and stuff for our pets without having to do a dental cleaning at the vet clinic or what have you. How often they need to have dentals done, you know, just a whole range of things. And we also had kind of another listener request. We thought we'd kind of put them all together. We get mouth staining from poor mouth hygiene on some of our bearded and drop coat dogs. So we thought we'd talk about some of those things, both from a veterinary perspective, and I can offer some thoughts from just a keeping your dog clean and grooming perspective. So, hey, Marty, that's a full list for us today.
It sure is.
How's Wisconsin
treating? Let's do it. The weather is not great. I'm looking forward to sunny, beautiful summer.
And well, wait till you come to my house. It's going to be perfect.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
It's June in Oregon. It could be a little warmish, but it could be just about perfect. So.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Excellent. Okay. So talk to us. Let's start with the idea of, are there products that we have on the market today that can treat the tartar buildup, you know, plaque buildup on our dog's teeth that can be quite deleterious to their health?
Yeah. Let's start with the basic premise. And everybody asks this question, isn't there something I can do that's easy? And the answer is, yeah, brush their teeth. And they look at me and go, but she won't let me brush her teeth, or he won't let me brush her teeth. Like, that's the best, absolutely the best thing that you can possibly do is to brush their teeth. Now, that being said, I have a bunch of dogs, and so I don't always get their teeth to the level that I would like them to. But when you go to the dentist, does your dentist say, oh, just chew gum or have a piece of cheese? Of course not. What do they tell you? Brush and floss your teeth. Yep. And I read someplace that people who floss their teeth live 6 years longer. So I'm like, well, if the only exercise I have to do is flossing, like, this is not real strenuous. I can do that and get 6 more years. Now, I think it's more likely that there's correlation and not causation.
Yeah, I
but
think
there's
that's
no question. Yeah. I think people who floss their teeth are probably healthier for other reasons as well. They're more careful with what they eat or how they exercise or other lifestyle choices. But the same holds true for our dogs, is that brushing their teeth is always going to be the best way to do it. And in general, the small breed dogs have a lot more dental disease than the large breed dogs, just hands down. Now, there are certainly exceptions to that. But most of the time, the large breed dogs don't have much dental disease, don't need nearly as much done. And the question is, do they have a difference in oral health? Like, is the pH of their mouth different? Is there something else going on physiologically? Or is it that they're just more aggressive chewers? Because a lot of little dogs aren't big on chewing stuff. Right. And so that's a question that I don't think anybody's fully answered. We know a lot of our small breed dogs have the same size teeth or close to the same size teeth as the big breeds. And we've scaled down the dog's body size and we've scaled down the length of their head and scaled down their whole head shape and size, but their teeth haven't gotten much smaller. I mean, when you look at the size of a canine tooth on a little dog, it's pretty good sized. So there's a lot more crowding, a lot more rotation of the teeth, a lot more retained baby teeth, a lot of things that happen in small breed dogs that don't happen in large breed dogs that are not just about how aggressive are they chewing on things. So first and foremost, brushing the teeth is always, always, always going to be the best. And for people that say, I can't do that, I have a client that flosses her cat's teeth, cat. And I said, what? And she said, yeah, next time I come in, I'll show you. And she did. She plucked the little cat on the table and she got out her dental floss and she was flossing this cat's teeth in my exam room. I'm like, okay, you are a rock star.
That's a level of dedication that I cannot subscribe to.
Her mother's a dog breeder. I'm just going to say she grew up in a household with lots of dogs and she's got a child, a husband, some dogs, and a cat that you can floss. Yeah. So I'm going to throw down the gauntlet and say, I'm going to challenge all of you to say, why don't you learn to floss your dog's teeth? Because they are going to be so cooperative. So what a lot of people make a mistake on when they try to brush their teeth is they think they have to open the dog's mouth or the cat's mouth. And they don't have flat molars like you and I do. They have pointy molars because they are not omnivores like you and I. We are omnivores. Whether you want to eat meat or not eat meat or what your lifestyle choices are, you have flat molars. So if you eat an Oreo cookie and then look in the mirror, you're going to see Oreo cookies stuck in the flat part of your molar. But if you're a dog or a cat, you have pointy molars because they are carnivores. Cats are obligate carnivores, meaning they must have some degree of meat in their diet or they're not going to have the amino acids that they need because they can't synthesize some of them. So cats and dogs have different amino acid needs and different dietary needs. So they have pointy teeth and you don't have to open their mouth. The inside of their teeth that their tongue touches stays fairly clean with the tongue. It's just the outer part and it's mostly where the big canine teeth are, the big fang teeth. Mm-hmm. And then way at the back, it's a premolar, but people think it's a molar because it's a big tooth. Mm-hmm. And right above that big tooth in dogs and cats, there's a salivary duct that opens. And so it drips saliva out. And just like the drippy faucet in your kitchen or your bathroom, when there's that chronically wet kind of drip, drip, drip in your faucet, you have that drip, drip, drip of saliva. And minerals are in the saliva like calcium and other minerals, and they build up on that tooth. And so you end up, because there's not a tooth on the outside of that upper tooth to keep it clean like there is on the lower. Mm-hmm. And so the lower tooth stays clean because the upper teeth come very close to them, but the outer upper teeth are really significantly impacted by tartar development. And you can buy a UV light on Amazon for $12, and you can look at your pet's teeth in the dark, unless you're red-green colorblind, which mostly is in men. If you look at your dog's teeth in the dark with that little UV light, you can see where the tartar is, and you can see how effective you are at getting the tartar off. So that's kind of my tip of the day is spend $12 for a light and $2 for a toothbrush and then buy doggy toothpaste because human toothpaste doesn't appeal to dogs and cats.
Right. And probably not very good for them and probably has things like artificial sweeteners that they shouldn't have.
Well, the biggest problem is they mostly are mint flavored and dogs and cats don't like the taste of mint particularly well. They're a little better with children's toothpaste like Tutti Frutti and bubble gum, but they do make dog and cat toothpaste and they have an enzyme in them that help to break down some of the tartar. So your brushing is accelerated by the use of that enzyme that's in the toothpaste. And I have tasted them all. They say that they're seafood flavored or beef flavored or chicken flavored. And to me, they all just taste sweet. I don't appreciate the flavor of beef when I taste dog toothpaste or cat toothpaste. And I do try everything that I put in my dog's mouth. I'm like, oh, let me taste that. And so I've tried them all. Embarrassingly, I've tried them all.
You know, when I was a little kid and I'd eat with my dog and take a kibble and give him a kibble, that's one thing. You're a grown-ass adult, girl.
Yeah, but I want to know if it really does taste like seafood. What does seafood flavored toothpaste taste like? And it really doesn't taste like seafood. It really tastes sweet. That's an important
thing. So here's a question. If there is a toothpaste that have enzymes that help break down the tartar, then there must be some product that you can put in their food that would do the same thing.
It helps a little, but it doesn't have the amount of contact time that it takes that the toothpaste has.
Okay.
So just chewing it and, you know, gulping it down doesn't last for
very long.
Dogs
don't really chew anyway. Mine don't.
Well, it depends. Yeah, a lot of dogs aren't good at chewing, and there are different kinds of pet food on the market. And for instance, Hill's makes a TD prescription diet, and they make the kibble in two sizes. And by the way, the TD canine product is kidney friendly as well. So an older dog can easily, safely eat the TD. They make that in two sizes. And the one size is about the size of a charcoal briquette. It is big. The first 3 days I gave it to my first corgi, she looked at me for the first 3 days and said, I'm not eating that. And I said, well, okay, that's fine. You don't have to, but that's all I'm putting in your bowl. So get over it. And on the third day, she finally said, yeah, that's looking pretty tasty. So the kibble is meant to be aligned in the dog's mouth so that it's flat and the dog can actually chew and bite into it. And it's made with a double screw extrusion process. So like Triscuits or shredded wheat, the fibers are lined up in a row. So as they bite into it, it doesn't shatter in their mouth. It scrapes the tartar off the teeth. So that's one of the mechanisms that the pet food company has come up with to work. Other products like the line of Royal Canin products will have sodium methyl hexyl phosphate in it, which is a little crystal that if you read your label of your Crest and your Colgate toothpaste, you'll see that is in human toothpaste. Okay. Again, the crystal in there helps to be abrasive on the tooth surface to help get rid of the tartar on the teeth with the product. So that's why you're going to see the products that they have to chew or that they have to use with a brush are going to be more effective than a water additive, for instance. So there's an important distinction there. And there is a Veterinary Oral Health Council, VOHC. And if you go on their website, they have a list of products. And if you look on the product, you'll see if they are approved by the VOHC. So that's the Veterinary Oral Health Council. That's the group of veterinarians who do dental work that have looked at these products and approved the products to say that they are effective. So you're not just buying something that you feel like maybe you're getting scammed. Like, is this really an effective product?
You see the stuff on the internet, the green powder that you put in their food and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and you don't know. So what I usually tell people before they do anything with a dental health product, whether they do a dental cleaning, whether they do a pet food change, whether they do brushing, whatever, is get out your camera, get out your little light if you can, and take some photographs of the teeth so that you know what they look like at the beginning of the process. Because when you look at the mouth a month later, you've been diligently brushing your little dog's teeth for a month. You're like, well, the really hard tartar's not coming off. I'm just going to tell you, you can keep more plaque from accumulating, and plaque is the soft stuff that turns into tartar, which is hard as a rock, literally hard as a rock. So take a look at their teeth in advance and then monitor the progress. Because if you look every day, you're not going to be able to tell if it's better or not. You really need that before and after picture. You know, when you look at diet products online and there's this fat person and a skinny person and you're like, are you the same person?
Sure. Are you sure? Feels like that might be AI generated.
Or maybe, you know, you did something. You found somebody that looked like her. So those are the things that I want you to think about is, you know, get an assessment of what their teeth look like before you start. And then you'll know what kind of progress you're making or not making.
Can we have a quick moment? And I'm sure that we might have touched on this in other Pure Dog Talk podcasts or something along the way, but I do want to mention to people, just sort of in a general way, there are really significant negative health effects to our pets from having those nasty teeth. And it's not just that they smell bad. I mean, there's more to it than that.
And I had a client many years ago that she dropped her dog off in the morning to do a dental cleaning and she picked her up in the afternoon and she said, oh, I really missed her today at lunch because she always sits on my lap and eats off my fork when I'm eating lunch. And I'm like, that mouth, you put that mouth on your own fork? Oh my goodness sakes.
Okay. So it's like,
I know it's bad. So it's not just about how they smell because it does have a bad odor to it. It's about their overall health because every time they chew, they set up a bacterial shower and they lodge in the heart valves, which can cause heart murmurs or accelerate heart murmurs. It can cause kidney problems, can cause all the same health problems that people have associated with dental health. So every time you see the February Dental Health Month commercials on TV or hear them on the radio for human oral health, the same thing applies to our pets is heart disease, kidney disease, all those nasty bacteria, and then the teeth start to lose their attachment to the gum line, and then they start to loosen, and then they fall out. And then, you know, sometimes as veterinarians, we have to extract a lot of teeth, sometimes all of the teeth.
Let me introduce you to my Chihuahua.
And then you take them home.
Pretty much three teeth.
And they don't have the canine teeth to hold their little tongue in, and then their tongue lolls out. You know, the ugliest dog contest, they always have a lolling out tongue. It's just not a good look for them. Their little face caves in. It's just like us. It's not a good look to not have teeth. You've been to the store or the station and you've seen
I have
people
the dog.
Without teeth.
I have the dog and I live where I live. So yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah. Okay. So do you have a recommendation as to how frequently dogs should have dentals just sort of in an everyday Netflix, couch surfing, pet dog life?
And that's a good heart. It depends. If you have a Labrador that's an aggressive chewer and they chew on their little greenies or their little rawhides and they're pretty good at it, they may never need a dental cleaning. They may never need one. If you have a little dog with crowded teeth and has poor oral health and they're not good at chewing on things and you've tried the foods and they won't do it, and you've tried to brush and they won't let you, then it may be once a year, twice a year, it may be even more often than that. We can see some pretty rapidly accumulating tartar on these guys. Mm. And the same with cats. I just did a surgery on a dog on Monday that had had a dental in November, and we were putting her under anyway. So we're like, well, we'll clean her teeth. And she said, they were just done 6 months ago. You would not have known that. Schnauzers, dachshunds, the terriers, the toy breeds, they tend to have a lot more dental disease. So getting back to the brushing, you don't have to open their mouth. You just slide the toothbrush in along where their molars mm-hmm. are. And mm-hmm. you know what it feels like when your toothbrush contacts your teeth. You can feel it. It feels different than if it's on the gum or the tongue or whatever. Don't open their mouth. Just slide the toothbrush in, put your toothpaste on, and get them accustomed to having their teeth brushed and handled. All that stuff when they're little babies, mm-hmm. because when they're older, then it's going to be just so much easier. If you have a dog that doesn't have a beard, those electric toothbrushes are great. But if you have a dog with a beard, not so good, because the little thing goes around and, you know, the little wiry coat goes around the toothbrush. Yeah, don't do that. If you have a corgi, it works. If you have
a really expensive toothbrush, I'm not putting in a dog's mouth. So there's that.
Well, but you can buy kids' disposable electric toothbrushes for $6. So we're not talking about anything that's expensive, but get them accustomed to having their mouth handled, their teeth handled, all that stuff when they're little babies. If you've gotten your dog from a breeder that's really attentive and they've done their early neurological stimulation and they've gotten the dogs used to being handled. I've got puppies right now that are just mm-hmm. 10 days old. And so every day they get their little early neurological stimulation. Right. So it's really important for you to get a dog from a breeder that's a quality breeder that's done the desensitization and the work to get these dogs to be accomplished at letting you do almost anything that you need to.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized puppy matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
Hey, Dr. Marty Greer here. If you have a small dog that uses potty pads, you already know how frustrating it can be to keep up with the mess. Changing pads multiple times a day, dealing with smells, and constantly wondering if your pup has had an accident, it's exhausting. That's why you need Brilliant Pad Smart. It's an automatic self-cleaning potty system that replaces soiled pads using advanced poop AI technology. This means no more soggy, stinky pads sitting in your home. Just a fresh, clean potty area for your pup day and night. And with the Brilliant Pad app, you can check in remotely to see if your dog has gone while you're at work, out running errands, or even on vacation. It's the perfect solution for busy pet parents who want to spend less time cleaning and more time enjoying life with their dog. Make life easier for both you and your pup. Go to brilliantpad.com/MartyLaura and use BPB-MartyLaura50 and to save $50 on your Brilliant Pad Smart today. Every day I have people that come in and say, I can't trim his nails. He won't let me. I can't brush his teeth. He won't let me. I can't give him a pill. She won't let me. What? What? What do you mean? My dog lives in my house and we have my rules. Yes. I am not sure what rules you have at your house, but my dogs have to behave themselves.
There's a whole line of conversation on this topic that is, for me, I have to work really hard at it because I understand the concept of handling dogs gently. I handle all
my dogs. I'm not talking about being harsh.
But the concept of the dog having to approve of whatever I do, that's the line that I draw. That's my line that I'm not going down that road.
Nope. I'm not talking about being harsh. I'm talking about desensitizing them, getting them accustomed to it. You know, if that means you put the toenail clipper in their food bowl and they have to eat around it and look at it every day for, you know, the time that it takes them to eat their food.
One toe a day. You know, exactly. Not everybody that's listening here has their pet from someone who's done the work that you and I have done. Right. And if you have a dog who's been adopted from a shelter or what have you, and you've got issues that you're working through, there's people who can help you. And we are happy to give you information about that. But won't let me is not really the direction I'd go personally.
No, No. And we can put them on anti-anxiety drugs, things like trazodone and gabapentin to help them relax so that when they go in for the grooming or for the nail trim or whatever, that they're more accustomed to it. And then that's a learning curve. It shortens the learning curve. We're not talking about having to do this for the rest of their life. It shortens the learning curve for them to realize that you didn't die getting your nails trimmed. It was all okay.
See everything in a very happy pink glow.
Yeah, exactly. Like little pink elephants. So you can do some of these things to make it easier for you. So you get them accustomed to different kinds of pet food. You get them accustomed to the toothbrush. You get them accustomed to the nail clipper. You just have to work through some of these things because you want your pet to be cooperative. And I know a lot of people that will say, oh, well, my groomer brushes my dog's teeth. Well, you go to the groomer every 8 weeks. How often do you brush your teeth? Well, I brush them twice a day. Okay. So brushing your teeth six times a year isn't, isn't enough. And they go, yeah, no, I guess not. So again,
there is the opportunity for people, even if they're not able, you know, if they're starting now, right? Yeah. They're starting from base and they're like, I've looked at my dog's canines and right. There's ways for people to scale their dogs, at least the canines, without having to put the dog under anesthesia necessarily. Is that something you want to talk about?
Well, the concern that veterinarians have about that is when you hand scale the teeth, just like if you go to your dentist and they scale the tartar off, at the end of the dental cleaning, they polish the teeth. They do what's called prophy, and they use something that feels and crunches like Comet in your mouth when you get done having your teeth cleaned, because that smooths the enamel back out. So if you hand scale the teeth, you or your groomer or your breeder or whoever hand scales the teeth, you etch the enamel on the tooth, and then you actually accelerate the progression of the tartar accumulating after that every single time. We don't recommend that you hand scale teeth. We don't recommend that that happens. There are veterinary clinics and veterinary associates, veterinary professionals that say they'll do anesthetic free dentals and they just hold them in their lap. Again, you can't get a good cleaning. You can't get the prophying done. You can't get under the gum line and get the teeth clean. So there's a lot of disadvantages to it. So yes, you need to prophy the teeth at the end of the dental scaling. And I used to work for a veterinarian that used Comet, and I'm not joking. She used Comet to prophy the teeth.
Not actual Comet.
No, no. She used actual Comet. Not recommended, folks. Yeah, it's got bleach.
Poisonous.
It's not good for you. Yeah, it's not good for you. Don't do it. But I've seen it done. So just because you can doesn't mean you should. So when you get done with your dental cleaning, you know how that stuff feels. They say, well, do you want bubble gum or you want Tutti Frutti? I'm like, I don't want any of it, but I know you have to do it. So then they hand you the bottle of water on your way out the door because you got to rinse all that stuff out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. So the veterinarian that does the dental scaling should also be prophying the teeth. It's called prophylactic because it polishes and smooths the enamel back out after it's been scaled, because you've roughened the enamel in the process of cleaning the teeth. So you want to smooth them back out and slow the progression of the next accumulation of tartar. So it's not just as easy as knocking the tartar off the teeth. It's a lot more complicated than that. And so that's why anesthetic-free dental cleanings are not recommended by most veterinary dentists and most veterinarians. And that's why we don't like the groomers to scale them either, is we just feel like it actually makes the tooth accumulate tartar more quickly. So we're just going to be straight up about that. So that's why.
That's really good information as someone who was a dog handler and would have people drop dogs off with me and I'd get ready to take it in the ring and I'd look in the mouth and I'd be like, oh no, we're not doing that. I'm not going to lie. I've been known to just knock the tartar off the teeth because I got to walk in a ring with this dog.
Right. And I understand that. But for instance, my breed, my Danish Swedish farm dogs, just became fully AKC registered and able to show in AKC full events in January. Mm-hmm. So last year in October and November, I put all my dogs on my schedule and cleaned all the old dogs' teeth and prophied them all, put them under anesthesia, did the blood work, did the EKG, put them under anesthesia, scaled their teeth, prophied their teeth, woke them up. And so in January, when we came out with a 12-year-old dog, she didn't have 12-year-old dog looking teeth. She still had all of her teeth. And the teeth that I showed to the judge were healthy teeth without the amount of tartar on them that you would expect in a dog that hadn't had dental care. Because I wasn't about to show a dog. And I wasn't going to scale her teeth by hand because I know the downsides to it. So my dog got full dental cleaning.
Welcome to being a veterinarian. You can do that.
I do have the advantage of having the key. Yeah. So when I needed a C-section, I could get a key and come in.
I'm just going to kind of throw that into the conversation gently. True. Not like a bomb, just sort of lofting it like a little, you know.
Right. But it's true. Yes, we do have to anesthetize patients. And yes, I know I have a lot of clients that are fearful of that. Mm. They're afraid of anesthesia. They're afraid they heard their neighbor dog died after a dental cleaning or something happened. And while age is not a disease and anesthesia is very safe, it's not without its risks. Mm-hmm. So we do blood work, we do AKG, we make sure the dog is in good health or the cat is in good health before we anesthetize them. We don't want to forget our little kitty friends because they have teeth too. They have fewer teeth. Cats only have 28 teeth. Dogs have 42. So it's a difference.
What? Yeah, how did I not know that?
I don't know. Every show I'm going to tell you something you didn't know.
Well, if it has to do with cats, it's not going to be a big reach. So.
But this is my job, every show, to say, Laura, did you know?
No, I did not know that cats have half as many teeth as dogs. No, I did not know that. That is crazy.
Here you go. But crazy. We put them under anesthesia and we do it safely. They're on monitor. They have a certified vet tech with them, certified, registered, licensed, depending on the state you live in. And so done appropriately, dental cleanings are very safe. And in fact, they're better for their health. Mm-hmm. And I have people that come in and after the dental cleaning, they're like, I can't believe I waited this long. Not only does she smell better, but she feels better. She's bouncing around. She mm-hmm. feels better. And dogs and cats don't stop eating because their teeth hurt. Mm-hmm. They continue to eat because they need the food. Mm-hmm. But it's very uncomfortable for some of them to be chewing their food. We see broken teeth frequently. We see teeth that are damaged, teeth mm-hmm. that are loose. So our pets need dental health, and we do take dental x-rays. We have all the ability to do almost all the stuff that your human dentist can do. So Very saying. Cool. So a mouthwash is better than nothing, but a mouthwash by itself is generally not enough. You need to do something like a chewy. The Greenies make some nice chewies. The pet food
Are
companies, like I said.
Are you comfortable with the Greenies? Yeah. I was going to ask you that. Yeah. How do you feel about Greenies? I'm a little meh on them.
Yeah, they've improved the safety. When they first came to market, there were some concerns, but they've definitely worked on those and improved them. Rawhides are fine as long as your dog doesn't swallow a big hunk of it. If they chew on hard bones, Nyla bones, real bones, they can fracture teeth. And the most commonly fractured tooth is that biggest premolar. It's the fourth premolar on the upper, and they frequently fracture those. Mm. Oftentimes we see them both fractured. Like every day we see dogs in with fractured carnasal teeth, day.
I had a first for me. Honestly, and I've had plenty of dogs. My Bing dog broke his canine mm-hmm. chewing bones because he loved mm-hmm. his bones. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. And I do, you know, boiled beef bones, filled boiled beef bones. That's my chew yeah. of choice because I have dogs who will chew and swallow things and blockage yeah. surgeries are not my favorite. So,
yeah, no, that's expensive and it's hard on the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad.
So that's what I've always used, but I went away mm-hmm. from them because of that and went yeah. to the Yak's Milk chews, which I quite like.
Yeah. Yeah, those are nice. And the Yak's Milk, again, when they get too small, those are the ones made out of like cheese or milk. When they get too small and you're at risk of swallowing them, then you pop them in the microwave and they puff up and then they can finish chewing it. So you don't have to throw that small piece away.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those are great. Okay. So a final piece of our conversation today on sort of oral hygiene has to do with staining around the mouth, saliva staining mm-hmm. that we see primarily in our long-haired and our wire-coated mm-hmm. dogs, but you can see it in any breed, really. You want to talk on that a little bit about, you know, what's causing that staining and ways that we can treat it from a veterinary perspective, and then I have some thoughts from a grooming perspective.
Sure. So anytime there's chronic exposure to saliva, the coat changes to a dark red rust color. Almost looks like blood, but it's not blood. So if they lick their feet excessively because of allergies, their feet turn rust colored. I have people come in, I'm like, oh, your dog chews his feet. And they go, no, he doesn't. Well, they're telling you he does because they're not going to be that color
or
any other reason.
Or if it's a Saint Bernard or something like that and they sleep with their head on their feet.
Right.
The same thing. Right. They don't even have to chew. They just sleep with their head on their feet.
But any chronic saliva exposure, there's porphyrins in the saliva, and porphyrins will turn that rust color. That's the chemical in the saliva or the tears that causes that staining. So we can see tearing. We can see staining around the mouth. Mm-hmm. If you have a dog you're not showing, you can just keep that beard trimmed quite short. Mm-hmm. And as dogs get older, there's only one place they get wrinkles. If you've ever looked at a shaved down dog, there's only one place on their body they get wrinkles, and it's right behind the canine tooth on the lower lip. And if they come in with bad odor in their mouth, sometimes that's where the odor is coming from. It's not even from their teeth. So we'll kind of stretch the skin out, shave it short, and then teach them how to either get it, because you can buy a shaver on Amazon for $18. They're great. They have USB rechargeables. They have nice little blades. You can shave their little mouth.
Our wire-coated breeds that we're showing, we keep that pulled or shaved short because that's...
Right, it's stinky.
Drains the goo And
yeah, it's like a little gutter and it gets icky and stinky. And then I just use something like baby shampoo around their mouth. It won't hurt them. You can use chlorhexidine. There are some nice chlorhexidine mouth rinses on the market for dogs that have like sores in their mouth or injuries to their mouth, that kind of thing. In people, chlorhexidine can turn your teeth a dark color, but it doesn't discolor the teeth in dogs. And it does come, there is a dog oral rinse and it smells nice. And so you can get rid of some of that odor.
I've seen it on like cotton pads soaked in the Chlorhex stuff and to use that to do their teeth with. And those actually, I had an Akita years ago, that a special that just constantly had tartar buildup that shouldn't have. And I used those on him and it worked actually really, really well.
Yes. But again, you were doing something more than just throwing rinse at it. It wasn't just, here's a water additive. Because as appealing as those are and as nice as they are, they're just not going to be as effective as the things that actually abrade the tartar off the teeth. Like I said at the beginning, your dentist doesn't say eat a piece of cheese every day. You don't have to brush your teeth. Every 6 weeks or so is fine. Yeah, no.
So on the saliva, is there, you know, there's lots of old wives' tales. Oh, put apple cider vinegar in their water. It'll change the pH and blah, blah.
I want my dogs drinking water. And if it tastes like vinegar, they're not going to drink the amount that they should. They're going to drink enough to stay alive. So don't do anything to the water that's going to make it unappealing. Just kind of think about that. Dogs don't want to drink out of a green, slimy bowl. They don't want to drink vinegar. They just don't. Like, give them fresh water, change the water bowl, keep it clean, wash it out with soap and water, throw it in the dishwasher, keep the water bowl clean.
That's actually a super, super, super important point that you just made that I, again, encountered along the way. If you feed your pet in plastic bowls, they will get goo. And it's really important, the bacteria that develops on those bowls, you need to either wash them every day or even the plastic ones, you can't really sterilize the way you can a metal.
Yeah, it's recommended that you either use a ceramic bowl or a metal bowl, stainless steel, for that very reason, is the bacteria and the oils get into the bowl and then they perpetuate bacteria. And when you buy your pet food, you should not take your pet food out and then dump it into a container, into a plastic storage container. The plastic bag that the dog food comes in, because they're almost all either plastic or plastic lined at this point, you can lower that into a container. Like I have big bags of food because I feed a lot of dogs. So I lower the bag into the garbage can so that the mice don't get into it or the other bugs or whatever. But you don't want to dump it out because, again, that porous plastic, the bacteria start to accumulate, the oils get in there, it gets rancid, it makes your food go bad. Just keep it in the pet food bag is meant to store pet food in, not the plastic storage containers. So don't do it.
Like it. All good information.
Easy peasy.
From a grooming perspective, if you have and want to treat some of these stains, a light mixture of hydrogen peroxide mixed with water.
A little bit.
Spray into the beard, just around, not in the eyes, right? Not in the mouth, just around on the hair. And then wash it out with a nice gentle soap, dog shampoo. And then really, 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 really hypercritical, then you have to use a conditioner. Because when you scrape the teeth, you make them rough. Well, when you bleach or use hydrogen peroxide on that hair around the mouth, you've stripped the hair shaft open. And so in order for it to not just be stained again tomorrow, you have to condition to seal that hair so that it doesn't absorb more. And then keep up with your hygiene, keep up with your cleanliness, and you won't have the problem. I also know people who breed white dogs who swear that there is a genetic component to it, to just having dogs that don't stain, there you go.
And there's a couple companies that make a white dog food. Mm-hmm. One is called White Dog. There's a Maltese food that Royal Canin makes. There's a number of dog foods on the market. So if you have a white dog and it's important to you that they stay white, then that's something to do. I use, when I bath my dogs, my white part of my dogs, I use Dreft. Because that helps to whiten them. So there's definitely things that you can do.
There's some fantastic for fancy show dogs. Oh, there's some fantastic shampoo white dog products.
There's rust colored. There's black dog. There's all kinds of colors. Yep.
But basically, so there's lots you can do. Good clean dog and good mouth hygiene is going to deal with all of the issues that we're talking about today.
Right. So use the chews. Use the strips. I mean, CET makes chew strips. Purina makes chew strips. A number of companies make chew strips that are meant to help keep the dog's teeth clean. And they do help. You can give one a day. They make little ones for little dogs, big ones for big dogs. So appropriately sized chews are fine, but don't expect that by itself to resolve your issue. Expect to have to do a little bit of elbow grease to get the teeth and the beard and the feet and all the stuff, because they're walking around in the grass without shoes on. You know, they're licking stuff and picking up sticks.
They drink water that you don't want to know about.
Then
they're going to come lay in your bed. So,
yeah.
Just saying.
It's lovely. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, y'all. Great to see you, Marty. We will talk at you again soon, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are, in the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc. Sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.